One thing I like to be found doing, singing his praises. Amen. We got Thanksgiving coming up. Years ago, women used to cook in the kitchen. While they was cooking, they were singing praises. I remember as a little boy hearing grandmother singing glory to God and singing his praises. We got some young ladies tonight that are wanting to sing. I like to ask them to come right now. We always get joy out of hearing Kaylin and Skylin sing, and we'd like them to come.
One very well for me. Somebody messed with the microphone, got it turned off.
They turned off back there?
Yeah, the middle one there, so I don't wonder why. Yeah, it must have.
There on, but Melvin, this one turned off.
Hold it.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go. Oh boy. Pick you one out there. Yeah, they just turned off.
They came from far, following Jesus the Son to where he lay, not being sure of what had been, but knowing if was heaven soon, they made their way. And the creatures gathered round and didn't make a sound, and the angels knew. The angels knew what was come, the reason God had sent his Son from up above. It filled their hearts with joy to see, in knowing of his destiny, came tears of love. And the creatures gathered round and didn't make a sound. And the angels cried. I've often thought about that night and wondered if they realized that star so bright was sent to tell all the land the Son of God will soon become the Son of Man. And the creatures
to sing tonight? I think we got some other ladies tonight. I seen Gayla back there looking at a song. Y'all aim to sing tonight? Oh, I'd like to ask them to come to would please. You know, one thing, the Bible said God inhabits the praises of His people. And I'm just starting to realize this, that singing is a type of worship. And I certainly want to give all the opportunity for worship if we can.
And all these different places. You have to start.
Out on the hills of glory land, so happy and free at God's right hand, they tell of a place through marvelous grace called heaven's bright shore. Pilgrims on earth someday will go to live in that home forevermore, just trusting in Him who died for sin and rose from the grave. On heaven's bright shore, there'll be no dying over there, not one little grave in all that fair land, not even a tear within the eye, and no one up there will say goodbye. Just trusting His praise through the endless ages on heaven's bright shore. When I must cross the rolling tide, someone will be on the other side to welcome my soul to that fair land, make perfect my love. As I walk up that milky white way, I'll see that homecoming in a ray. How great it must be for angels to see a pilgrim reach home. On heaven's bright shore, there'll be no dying over there, not one little grave in all that fair land, not even a tear will dim the eye, and no one up there will say goodbye. Just trusting His praise through endless ages on heaven's bright shore.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
This song is a Thanksgiving song, I think. So this week is Thanksgiving, so if anybody wants to help, if you're thankful for your home and thankful for your kids and thankful for Christ, well, just stand up and sing if you want to, or sing sitting down.
As the world looks upon me as I struggled along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I have a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep, food on my table, and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. Woo! And to me, that's all that matters. Oh, I wish they could see that. your blessings on me. I have a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 14, while you're trying to find that, I marked it in my Bible so I could get the jump on you. While you're trying to find that, let me share with you what Ron Ralph said this morning. He said two rednecks went deer hunting. And he said it's amazing to him they can get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go deer hunting, but they can't get up in time to come to church. But anyway, he said as they went deer hunting, one of them fell down. And he said he looked down and his eyes rolled back in his head. And he got his phone out and he dialed 911 and he said, Bubba's dead, Bubba's dead. She said, calm down a minute, calm down, hold on a minute. She said, are you sure he's dead? Said, about that time she heard this, boom! He said, yeah, I'm sure, now what do we do? Well, anyway, might get that on the way home. But she said, first of all, we need to establish that he's dead. She heard a gunshot. He said, yeah, he's dead. Well, friends like that, I believe I'll stay home. Ezekiel chapter 14. I have a little bit of humor. Message is going to be rough tonight. I'm just a messenger, boys. Don't blame me. Ezekiel chapter 14, starting in verse number 12. Bible says, the word of the Lord came again to me saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by transgressing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, turn some of these off here. We're in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beast to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall deliver themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall deliver but their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast, yet behold, there shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it, and they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. We'll stop our reading right there and you can be seated. I'm going to be reading from several places in the Bible tonight. A tough message for a preacher on judgment of nations, and I desire your prayers tonight. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you that you sit upon the throne. You inhabit eternity. And your word says that the people are as grass, the inhabitants of the earth are as grasshoppers in thy sight. Nations are but a drop in thy sight. And Lord, here we are tonight for the word of God. And Lord, thank you that we have it. Lord, even at the nursing home, we tried to convey the fact that God's word is different than man's word. Man's word says, but God's word does. Lord, we know not one jot or one tittle shall fail from the word of God. We know that, Lord, you declared the end from the beginning. We know your counsel will stand. We know that no matter what man does, this word will prevail. You said heaven and earth would pass away, but you said my word shall not pass away. We know it's like you, it's eternal. And we do well to take heed, give the most earnest heed to it, lest we forget and slip. Lord, I pray your blessings tonight. I confess, Father, Lord, as I think about myself, how nothing I am, how insignificant I am, Lord, I pray somehow, Lord, to be used of God. And I pray, dear Father, tonight, and you know my heart, these people here, but Lord, you know, I pray you preach to me, and I pray you preach through me. Lord, if it be possible, I pray for tears to trickle down my cheeks. Lord, I declare, Lord, the things you put in my heart, and I'll give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' blessed name, I'll ask it. Amen. Terrible passage tonight. God mentioned here continually about three men. Named them twice. Noah, Daniel, and Job. And every time I think about those three men, the Bible talked about Noah being a preacher of righteousness. Talked about Daniel wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat. Talked about Job. Then I'll tell you what God said, there was none in the earth like him. And God mentioned these three men. And he said these three men could but deliver themselves. And I do believe in the day and hour we're living in, when so many have compromised, and so much, I tell you what, of the world coming into the church, it's kind of like a ship in the ocean. As long as the water don't come in the ship, it'll float. But if the water comes in the ship will sink. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. And as I look at how people are compromising and how they're somehow making exceptions here and there, I see where Noah didn't, and Daniel didn't, and Job didn't, and they retained their integrity. And I'm telling you, there's a day coming, a day of judgment that God said He's going to bring upon this land.
Right.
He said that we might understand the cause for which He sent it. There's only one fit to judge, and He will judge. I'm telling you, buddy, He's going to judge the nations. He's going to judge the politicians. I mentioned a little bit this morning about this Obamacare. I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat. But I'll tell you what, brother, they're going to mess up the church world. They're going to hurt, Brother Vernon commented on a little bit this morning, they're going to hurt the little churches. They're going to try to make it impossible for a little church to exist. I believe God's heart's with a little church, but if you don't abide by this thing they've implemented, this Obamacare, you'll be fined. You'll be penalized. And you'll find out it ain't what it's built up to be. You'll find out, buddy, as you watch America fall, you'll remember what happened to others that turned from God to seculars. I tell you what, buddy, righteousness exalted the nation, but sin's a reproach to any people, and that includes America. Yes. You'll find out about that copay. I heard a little bit about this. When you go to the doctor, you'll find out your part's going to be anywhere from $10,000 to $30,000. Oh yeah, don't forget the words. You'll find out what's in it after you sign it, amen.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about that tonight. Listen, I'm telling you, this scripture here tonight, if you look over, if you got a Scofield Bible, it says, no account to be spared. Or on no account to be spared, Jerusalem. Here God is. Not only is He a God of love, God of mercy, God of grace and forgiveness. Don't forget, God of war. He's also a God of judgment, amen. And there's a day set aside that Jesus is going to judge the world. He's going to judge it in righteousness, amen. And I tell you what, ain't nobody going to argue with Him. They're going to say, you're right and I'm wrong, amen. All this bunch got it in their mind, got preconceived ideas, how they're going to explain away. They got all their excuses for why they didn't come to church and for why they said the things they said and done the things they done. I tell you what, on the day they stand before Him and give an account, there won't be one teeth come out of their mouth. They'll sit there in silence and they'll say, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong, amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Judgment. The Bible said that Paul reason with Felix about temperance and judgment to come, and the Bible said Felix trembled. Here he is, the judge, the governor, Brother Alvis. He's only known judgment as far as judging others. Now he realizes he's one day going to be judged, and you know, he never really thought about that. All the judgment he passed on others. The Bible says, be careful about judgment, because by the same judgment you judge, you'll be judged. It's always good to have mercy in judgment. It's always good to somehow have a little compassion, have a little grace. My pastor said, come on, have a little grace, amen. Don't be so critical. Tell you what, if you could just be found, have a reputation to be someone that was merciful, forgiving, and kind, and courteous. Someone said this about my mother, that they believe she could even get along with the devil, and that might be true. My mama didn't have no enemies, I don't guess, other than the devil. But I believe even she would entreat him with kindness. Yeah, she'd fix a plate for him. She didn't know no strangers but in heaven. When she fixed a meal, somebody come by, she said, come on in and get you something to eat. All them people down there at the lake, they knew her. They could smell the cooking. They'd come by and say, what's for dinner? She said, come on in, find out. She set them a plate down there. I tell you what, wouldn't hurt us have a little bit of that. But judgment, boy, judgment of a nation. If there ever was a nation that deserves to be judged, it's our nation. When I look back on days gone by, how this nation walked with God like Enoch. Other nations looked upon America trying to find out what made America so great. And they come over here, sent spies over here, and the spies went into the military and they said, America's greatness is not its military. They went into the financial institutions and they said, America's greatness is not in its money. And somehow another, Brother Melvin, one of them stumbled in a church and he come out and he said, I'll tell you what makes America great. It's America's God that makes America great. And if America ever ceases to be a godly nation, it'll cease to be great. I'm telling you, buddy, we've come down to that day, man. We sure have. We've compromised on things, buddy. It's needful to be a great nation. But in Zephaniah, and I know you can't find that because it'd take forever. I've got it marked, so just bear with me. Zephaniah chapter 3, right close to Zechariah. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 says, woe to her that's filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They know not the bones till tomorrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity every morning, doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. That's amazing. Our towers fail. And God says here, I've cut off the nations. And their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste so that none pass it by. Their cities are destroyed so that there is no man. There is none inhabited. I said, surely thou wilt fear me. Surely thou wilt receive instruction so their dwelling shall not be cut off. However, howsoever I punish them, but they arose early and corrupted all their doings. I just got a 3 points here. I don't think I'll be very long tonight. But I just want to say tonight, what in the world is God waiting on? I look at the things going on in this country. I look at its apostasy. I look at its leaders. I look at its hatred of God. I look and I think, what is God waiting on? I went up there to Sonora yesterday, Brother Melvin. Man, there's some fields up there, and you know, some fields yield more than others. I couldn't wait to get in this field, Brother Alvis. It's just laying full of big old pieces of flint. I'm going up there looking for flint. For some reason or other, they're waiting to cut the corn. And I look at that field, and I thought like God thought, what are they waiting on? Man, they're ripe already to harvest. And I tell you what, boy, America's kind of like that. It's turning into wasteland. It's falling by the wayside. What's God waiting on? I'll tell you what He's waiting on. He's waiting on lost people to come to themselves. You know that prodigal son, the Bible said he came to himself. He's waiting on lost people. Me and Brother Melvin putting forth the effort tonight to do some visiting. To our surprise, there was a woman at the hospitals. We was talking to a man, broke down into tears and had fruits of repentance. And we told her, boy, there ain't no better time than now to call upon the Lord and get saved. I said, you could have a home in heaven tonight. You could pillow your head tonight and think the only thing that happened to me, the worst thing that happened to me, is I could wake up in the heaven. And boy, you could look in her eyes and see that she desired that, Molly. It wasn't hard to see. I'm telling you, you could tell she was yearning to have that saving knowledge of salvation. You know, salvation is not of man, it's of God. But I'll tell you one thing, buddy. Someone said, you put enough salt in a horse's mouth, he wants some water. We tried our best to make her thirsty. It wasn't too long. She said, yeah, I do want to get saved. And she said, I don't know what to do. We kind of told her, ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to save you. Ask Him to be your Lord right now. And ask Him to be your Savior. I'll tell you what, buddy. I look at America and I'm thinking, what in the world is God waiting on? Why is He so gracious to this country? I'll tell you why all the missionaries come from America. God has evangelized the whole world from America. Someone said, we took the land away from Indians. No, I think God gave it. I think God gave it so the Indians could be saved. A lot of people, including me, didn't know this. Geronimo became a Christian. A really well known Christian for his day and time. A murderer like a Geronimo became a Christian. I found out about that at KC, up at the Wax Museum, and I was astonished to know that a man that had killed so many people, and I guess he had too, a savage, I don't know, but if somebody told him about Jesus and God was bigger than him and he fell and asked the Lord to save him, amen. And like Paul, it said, he said he was a murderer and injurious to the church. He said, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. And a lot of men like Geronimo and like Paul that was Saul sinned ignorantly, not knowing the merciful God of heaven, amen.
Amen.
I think God's waiting on people to come to themselves. Psalm chapter 6, verse 3 and 4 says, return, O Lord, how long? I don't know about you. I preached this morning on the coming of the Lord, and I wish He'd come, but I'll tell you right now, buddy, one reason He ain't granting what I wish is because there's a bunch of people, if He'd come yesterday, it'd be too late, that young girl, or she wasn't young, the woman at the hospital, if He'd came yesterday, she'd have been too late. But I want you to know the long suffering of God is waiting, amen. It's counted on this to salvation, glory. But what's God waiting on? America, like Israel. God said about Israel in Exodus chapter 32, verse 7 and 8, God told Moses, He said, they've corrupted themselves. They've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. Moses is gone 40 days and 40 nights. And that's all it took. As long as Moses is in the position or the place that he's supposed to be in, they walk with the Lord and live for God. You know, Jimmy Swaggart failed. I guess the domino, probably 1,000 fell with him. But I'll tell you one thing.
My Jimmy's wagon ain't going to fall. I'm looking unto Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I think all men are poor examples of what Jesus offers. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You want to find one that won't fall, won't fail, look to Jesus. Amen.
Right.
Somehow or another, and I won't mean to, but somehow or another, I'll fail your expectation. I'd love to be what you want me to be, but I can't. There's only one, Emily, that can measure up to that, and His name's Jesus. Amen. He's without fault. He's without spot. He's without blemish. He's the perfect Lamb of God. I tell you what, buddy, He come down here and lived a perfect life. The Bible said He obtained favor with God and man. He went about doing good. And there wasn't nothing they could find to accuse Him of. I'm telling you, boy, there was none that spake like that man. Amen. He went to where they were. He healed them. He helped them. He saved them. Amen.
Yeah.
Whew, what a Savior. Moses gone 40 days. And Israel corrupts themselves. God said, get thee down quickly. They've corrupted themselves. We need godly leadership. When there's no godly leadership, it starts falling. And grace the fall of it. You put a godly man in the White House and just see what difference it makes in this country.
Right.
You put a man up there, boy. It says what we need to do is repent and return to God. I'd like to see a man up there that wasn't ashamed to say one nation under God. I'd like to see a man up there that wasn't ashamed of the National Day of Prayer. I'd like to see a man up there that wasn't ashamed of the Bible.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Right.
That's what we need.
Sure.
We need someone up there, buddy, that set a godly example to this ungodly nation. You remember what Joshua said? He said, you choose whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, Molly, he said, we're going to serve the Lord. I like to see some men that couldn't be bald. I like to see some men that couldn't be bent. But buddy, I'll tell you what, made straight steps for their feet. And they walked that narrow way. And I'll tell you what, buddy, most politicians can't meet this criteria, but they wasn't ashamed of Him. Brother Alvis, Jesus said, you be ashamed of me. And He said, I'll be ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed of Him, Carolyn. I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to meeting Him. Amen. I'm telling you right now, glory to God, I've got to attain the privilege of meeting Him. Amen. I'm telling you, glory! He could help our nation. We've corrupted ourselves. How did we do it, Brother Eddie? Well, it started out just a little bit. And the Bible said a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. It was just a little bit. Just a little. That little bit allowed the gays to come out of the closet. That little bit allowed the gambling to take hold and the drinking to be sold in the convenience stores and in the Walmarts around here. That little bit. Brother Barney was sharing with me about a little bit down here at the hospital. Ended up being a whole lot, didn't it, preacher? A little bit. I'm telling you, buddy, we don't need to allow no little bit. We need to put it away. And I'll tell you what, buddy, we need to put on righteousness. And we need to put it on, buddy, like Noah and like Daniel, like Job, amen, and set a standard for what, tell me, what God's looking for.
Right.
Our nations turned aside quickly out of the way. The Bible says fools make a mark at sin, so we start joking about sin. Just laugh it off. It'll be all right. They don't laugh about it in hell. Down in hell, they howl. Down in hell, they pray and they don't quit. What do they pray for, Brother Eddie? One drop of water. One drop of mercy. You want water, mercy, better get this side of hell because I ain't neither one of them down there. Amen.
Right.
We've corrupted ourselves in the sight of the Holy God. The Bible said that God's of pure eyes that look upon sin. I'm telling you, that's why Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Not only was He fulfilling the Messiah Psalm of Psalm chapter 22, verse number 1, but I'll tell you what, He who knew no sin became sin for our sakes, so we might be made the righteous of God in Him, and all our sins were put on Him. And I'll tell you what, buddy, I didn't want to, but there was no other way. He wore my sins. He took my sins to the cross. He nailed Himself in my stead. He wore my crown. I'll tell you, He took my beating.
Sure.
God couldn't look upon Him when He becomes sin. I'll tell you what, buddy, I don't like sin. I don't like what it does to people. I don't like hearing about the aftermath of sin. I'm telling you, buddy, that nowadays they add sin to sin. I don't know where it's going to end there, but they have never gave up on sin. Hosea chapter 9, verse 9 said they've corrupted themselves. Herein, talking about God, He will remember their iniquity and He will visit their sins. Nobody gets away with sin. David, the great king, and he was a man after God's own heart. He fell one day. He thought, it's all right. Nobody knows. Prophet Nathan comes to David, tells him a little parable, Brother Alvis. David got big and mad. And I'll spare you the time here. But David said, the man that had done this thing shall surely die. And Nathan said, you're the man. Brother, when you put the shoe on your foot, all of a sudden, you realize you shouldn't have done it. And all of a sudden, it became real. And that's where that great Psalms chapter 51 prayer came from. That he prayed that prayer of repentance in Psalms chapter 51. You're talking about a prayer, boy. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this wicked in thy sight, that thou might be just when thou judgest. I'll tell you, nobody gets away with sin. What's God waiting on? I don't know the answer to that. I'll tell you one thing, I'm glad He is waiting. I'm telling you, it'll work out to some for salvation. It'll work out to others for shame. You leave. You know, people get saved and instead of doing like people should do, continue to grow and as newborn babes in Christ desire the sincere milk of the Word, they may grow thereby. Some of them don't grow. Some of them don't amount to nothing. And all they do is step one. They get saved. They don't even get baptized. They don't join the church. Or they don't do anything. They don't tell nobody. They don't witness. They don't work. They just get saved. You know, it would kind of be good if God came back early for them. But others, they hear about people getting saved and they entertain the thought, wonder if God could save me. Wonder if God would save me. And no matter what you say, they won't follow through. In the back of their mind, they're thinking, yeah, maybe them, but not me. I'm telling you, Betty, God came to seek and save. Amen. God's waiting for the lost to get saved. He's waiting, I'll tell you what, for nations to come to themselves and come up out of this mess. But let me say, the effort continues even today to remove God out of the equation. In Psalm chapter number 2, the Bible brings this to a great conclusion here. It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? I'll tell you why, they're full of the devil, that's why. Kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. I'm telling you, the effort today is a continual effort to take God out. To take it out of the preaching. To take it out of the teaching. And to take it even out of the leadership of our country. Don't mention that name Jesus. Listen, if I can't mention that name Jesus, ain't no sense in me praying. Because Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will grant it to you. That's why people say in Jesus' name. And they say, you can pray, but don't you mention that name Jesus. If you ain't going to mention that name Jesus, ain't no sense in praying.
Right.
And forget about all your goodness. And I'll tell you what, just realize He's gracious. And I'll tell you what, buddy, I found mercy because I come to the right one. And if you go to someone other than Him, good luck with that mercy, amen. But God's advice to the rulers, listen, verse 10, 11, be wise now, therefore, O you kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. God is not to be mocked. Matter of fact, He's not mocked. But somehow or another, they make jokes about God and He's a byword. He's somehow on a far journey. They don't have to worry. Boy, when He shows up, someone said once, Jesus is coming, and boy, is He mad. John said he heard a voice and turned around to see the voice that spoke to him. You know what he saw of James? He said his eyes were like a flame of fire. He don't sound too happy to me.
Right.
That loving Jesus? Yeah, his eyes. He's mad. Why is he mad? Because they've corrupted themselves. Why is he mad? Because they've turned aside quickly out of the way. Why is he mad? Because they won't let him be God. He's going to be God whether they like it or not. Amen, Molly. Oh, He gave him advice. Be wise. Be instructed. Serve the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Just listen to some of these by words as he gave advice to the rulers of the land. I didn't inhale. Yeah, I smoked, but I didn't inhale. Well, sad thing is, we're gullible enough to allow what I'm hearing there. I was politically correct when I made that statement. You'll know what's in it after you sign it. Hoopla, little people, don't matter anyway. How gullible are we? I'll tell you what, buddy. We're on the way down. And it's going to be a rough ride, even for the church. You better be sure you're saved. You better know in whom you have believed. You better know it well. Because I'll tell you what, buddy, you're going to be tried in the fire. We're all going to have a rough judgment. I'm just glad I'm going to have somebody standing there with me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to have my lawyer present. Amen. My advocate's going to be right there and say, yeah, but he's mine. I don't think there's going to be no peacock feathers at the judgment. I don't think there's going to be no proud looks or flying tongues. I believe it's going to be laid on the plummet line. But listen, our politicians are mocking us. You know why they're mocking us? Because we're allowing it. Thanksgiving Day thought. Romans chapter 1 says, neither were they thankful. That's where we're at. You know, we got Turkey Day coming up. Turkey Day. Better to think about that Turkey Day. God is a God to be reverenced, to be feared. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one to another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was made. And even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteous fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, and inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but to have pleasure in them that do them.
Yes.
We better be careful. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, buddy, when the judgment of the nations takes place, I'm glad I know which side I'll be standing on.
Yeah.
That safe side. Not that sorry side. And if you're on the wrong side, you'll have no one to blame but yourself. I'll tell you, buddy, that's one appointment you won't get out of. You might change your appointment, go to the doctor. You might change your appointment, go to the dentist. You might even change a hair appointment. I wanted to get a haircut yesterday, but my guy that does my haircut was gone, so I whacked on it myself. I don't know how bad it looks. But it's not like that with God. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. The Bible said, and the books were opened, and they were judged out of those things which were written therein. Oh me, wonder what kind of judgment. I'll tell you what kind of judgment. If you ain't got your sins under the blood, it's going to be rough. If you ain't got your name in the book of life, it's going to be rough. This nation is going to have a worse judgment than an African, Filipino, Chinese, Russian nation. You know why? Because we've got the Word of God. One man preached a message one time called Sodom Had No Bible. Nineveh had a preacher that didn't want to go, but he went. First limousine mentioned in the Bible was that whale that swallowed Jonah. Took that disobedient preacher to the shoreline of Nineveh and spit him out on dry ground. The Bible says dry ground. And I don't know what he smelled like and I don't know what he looked like. But the Bible said he come into Nineveh and he said yet in 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. And they repented from the king down to the servant, even the beast, put on sackcloth and ashes, and God spared Nineveh. Ain't much of that going on today, preacher. You preach your lungs out. I'll preach mine out. We fast, we pray, we work hard, we prepare, we thank Lord, surely you're going to move today. Surely you're going to save that one today near as hell. And you can hear the fluorescent light bulbs hum during invitation. It won't be like that, the judgment.
No.
Oh, what a weeping and a wailing when the lost are told their fate. They'll cry to the rocks and the mountains, but the cries will be too late.
Amen.
Boy, I'm telling you, the urgency said this message. They said it ain't going to be very long. God's going to call America before the great white throne judge. He's going to say guilty in all accounts. Only going to be a few, boy, going to escape that judgment. The Bible said if we neglect so great salvation, how shall we escape? Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3. I only know one door of escape. I only know one place to escape, and that's Jesus. Psalms 46, verse 1. God's our refuge and strength, a very present help, time of trouble. Only refuge I know, only safe place I know is in Christ. I hope it's well with your soul tonight. If it's not, I'll promise you this. He said, all that come to me, I'll in no wise turn them away. There's still two tear stains right here. Little Kaylee, Carolyn, they're right here like they're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
I remember little Caitlin. I remember she's down there praying. I said, you all right, honey? She looked up at me, tears flying everywhere. She said, Brother Eddie, I'm praying to get saved. I said, you go right ahead, honey. She didn't just get saved. She told all her family, didn't she, Carolyn? Little Caitlin, right here, buddy. Found her a place of repentance right there, boy. I thank God for them tear stains. What about you tonight? Father, we thank you for the privilege to deliver this message. Lord, I pray the Word of God find good ground tonight. I pray it echo, Lord, in the minds, Lord, of people that leave this service tonight. And may they get a burden for their lost loved ones. And may they get a burden for their lost family. Lord, help, I pray, that in the day and hour we're living in, this Laodicean church age, where we're neither cold nor hot, just comfortable, lukewarm, not willing to do anything, I pray someone rise up above that and go for the glory of God. And Lord, I pray tonight, if there be any lost here tonight, young or old, I pray, Lord, for that cords of love to draw them to your bosom tonight. And may they come saying, Brother Eddie, I need prayer. I need to get in touch with Jesus. I need to get saved. Lord, I pray for the shepherd's crook to go out tonight for that one's in the far country and bring them back to the 99. Whatever you do, Lord, I'll give you praise. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Thanks,
I ask everybody to stand tonight. Rough message, but a gracious God, gentle and kind.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. He will save you, He will save you, trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust.
Have you trusted Him? Have you took Him by the hand? Is He your Lord? Savior. Hey, I know it's a Sunday night. I know it's cold outside.
It ain't cold in hell. What about it tonight? You need to come tonight. There's people in hell tonight wishing they could have one more invitation song. Wishing they could have one more opportunity to make a home for heaven. I'm telling you right now, heaven is... it's offered. It's offered by the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. He said, I'll give it to you if you'll take me by the hand. He's offering heaven tonight. Is that what you want? You want heaven tonight? Come tell Jesus. And if not, there's a judgment. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, he said, we persuade men. Moses, when God came down upon Mount Sinai, he said that the sight was so fearful, he said, I exceedingly feared quake. God's not no little thing, man. He's bigger than life. The heaven of heaven, Solomon said, can't contain him. He's coming down. He's coming back. America ain't going to find a place to hide him. He will save you. Now, hold on just a second, Brother Melvin. Let me ask real quickly, every head be bowed. Just real quickly. Is there somebody here tonight, Brother Eddie? I need prayer. I'm not ready. I want God to be merciful to me. And I'm raising my hand tonight just so God will remember me. I don't want to end up in that place called hell. Is there one here tonight, young or old, Brother Eddie? Remember me. I want to go to heaven when I die. I don't wind up in that place where the flames, where the fire is not quenched and worm dieth not. Is there one here tonight? I feel in my heart an urgency as the reason I'm doing this. Is there one here tonight, Brother Eddie? Remember me. If God sees that hand, I'll promise you this. He's a covenant God. He'll see that hand. He'll remember it. Is there one tonight? All right. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Maybe someone got a word on your heart tonight. I felt God in the message tonight. I hope you did too. Amen, Brother James. Thank you, brother. Is someone else here tonight got anything on your heart? Tonight we'll be dismissed. I appreciate you coming.
I just want to pray to the Lord and thank Him for saving my soul.
Amen, Molly. Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to meet the one that died for me and gave himself for me. I don't know what I'm going to say. I just know one thing. I'm looking forward to saying thank you and tell him I love him. And all those things I know he knows already. I don't remember who it was this morning that, I guess it might have been Brother Melvin that said, wives know their husbands love them, but every now and then they want to hear it. They want to hear him say, I love you, and say something nice. I think God knows we love Him, but it's good every now and then, like Molly said, just want to say I love the Lord tonight. Amen. Anybody else got anything tonight?
Yeah, I don't really know how people can be quiet.
Bless you, Mom.
We've got such an awesome God.
Amen.
That hung on that cross.
Yeah, it did.
Suffered so for us.
Bless you, Mom.
So that we could live.
Amen.
Praise Him. I just don't understand people, but then again, I do. I know Satan's working.
Yeah.
But God is stronger than he is.
She's mighty right.
And people need to let know that they stand for God.
Amen. Amen.
Because time is closing in now.
Yeah, it is.
And you're going to stand silent on that judgment day.
Amen.
And I want to hear him say, welcome in.
Well done. Okay. Amen. Well done. Welcome in. Amen. Well said there, Molly. Is there someone else tonight? I ain't pumping the well. Just want to give you an adequate opportunity.
Well, I want to thank God for saving my soul.
Bless you, Brother Billy.
I just want to, you know, I put a comment on the computer before I left. Everybody, let's go UK, let's go Bears. I said, let's go God, you know.
Amen, Brother Billy. Everybody wouldn't care for that, but boy, God did. Amen. Yeah, you're right, brother. Amen. I wish that was echoed.
Everybody remember Avery Burton?
Yeah, remember Avery Burton? Yeah. He still needs to get saved. And we went by and seen Janie and spent some time with her. Remember Janie? And we've seen several people at the nursing home. We told them we'd be praying for them. And just remember, just like it be you in the nursing home, you want somebody to pray for you, pray for them. Anyone else tonight? Another need? What you got? Oh, Gail's bigger.
Yeah, a small boy, Irving's wife. We went by them and seen her.
Yeah.
She
got blessed.
Yeah. Yeah, we went in there really just waiting to see Janie. Went in there and got blessed. She got blessed. We got blessed probably more than she did. She's wiping tears everywhere. Yeah, she blessed us. And, you know, little things are big things. You know, when God gets in it. All right, thank you for coming tonight. Brother Vernon, would you please dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Our Father, again, Lord, we humbly bow before you to close with another Lord's Day. Lord, thank you, Lord, once again, for your goodness. Just for being here, Lord, for some reason, brother, I know.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your presence throughout the day and for visiting with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, that we have you to be with us day by day. Lord, that you're always there. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us.
Yes.
Help us, Lord, to ever stay close to the cross. Keep us humble, I pray. Go with us, Lord. Be with each other throughout this week as we go about our individual ways this week, Lord. We don't know what the week might hold or whether we'd even be spared through the week or not, Lord. But we just ask you to be with each other.
Yes.
Bless every need and all the requests that have been made known here today. Pray that you'll undertake in every need and help us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Look to you, believing and trusting, Lord, in you for all things. We give you the praise for everything that we would see accomplished. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.